Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our congregation and myself would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the sermon today. Our prayer is that the message will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer. I want to read verse number 1 of chapter 3. Just one verse, and actually there's only two words of that verse that I'm going to use as my launching pad. Verse 1 of chapter 3 of the book of Jonah. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying. The two words that I want to begin this sermon with are the words second time. Second time. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of being in the house of the Lord. Lord, I am tickled that I'm here with my precious wife, my wonderful daughter, and my buddy Matthew, my boy. I thank you that I'm here with my family. My sister's able to be here, Lord. I guess, Lord, through the 12, 14 years of pastoring here and helping there at Faith Baptist. We've not had a lot of services to be together in, but I thank you that today's another special Sunday she can be with us. I thank you, Lord, for those that are in this place. I thank you for those that are participate through the live web streaming, Lord. I pray you'll use it wherever that person, those people may be, use it in their life today. I thank you, Lord, for Daryl. Thank you for Archie. Lord, capturing, Lord, what's said today so that we can have it ready and available for others, Lord, actually around the world to listen and be encouraged, edified, equipped for your service. Lord, but with all this technology, with all these good people, and with all the schooling I've had and all the time I've thought about this, if you're not in it, it's a failure. So, Lord, I beg you in Christ's name, touch me. Have your way, have your will in this service. I pray that you'd help, Lord, from our children all the way to our eldest, that we will pay close attention. We'll have, Lord, a ready heart, Lord, a ready mind to receive what thus saith the Holy Ghost to our heart today. In Jesus' name I beg you. Amen. And amen. Thank you and be seated. Brother Chris, too, is back there. I'm sorry, Chris filled in Wednesday night, and I appreciate his work in the media ministry. As I said just a little while ago, that last Sunday I began a two-part sermon series. As we've seen the old year pass away and a new year begins. Now, last Sunday, if you remember, we talked about looking back. And for our text, we looked in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 15. The wording there was that Solomon, the preacher, said, God requireth that which is past. God requireth, and that word from the Hebrew means searches out. God searches out that which is past. And I hope we all allow the Lord to move in our hearts as we look back to 2012, and no doubt we were humbled with sobering thoughts of all the times the past year that we failed our God. All the times that we had sinned against His Word or His name. Well, God's Word said that every one of us is going to give an account for 2012. God requireth that which is past. And I thought about how that it's uncomfortable to look back at our sins. It was uncomfortable last Sunday to even preach the message. It was uncomfortable to feel the Holy Ghost moving out of the pews and deal with folks' heart concerning the failures and the sins and the iniquities and the shortcomings that they committed against God in 2012. But yet it was needful. The first step of getting right and getting where you ought to be is you need to look that you're away from where you need to be. Until you, and I know I'm not preaching the ABCs of being reformed from being a drunkard, but it is true, you need to understand in your heart, admit that you're not where you ought to be. You got to admit there's a problem. And so last Sunday, and I believe the way the altar was filled and folks weeping, and I've got some emails about or texts about the sermon, I believe God worked. And I know it was uncomfortable to look back. I don't like to dwell on my shortcomings. I don't like to think about how that I was maybe at times impatient or didn't have temperance or didn't have godliness as I should or love or charity. And I know we're not perfect people, but yet it is true that we're just sinners saved by grace. And last year we failed God miserably at times. Today, we're going to, by God's help, try to get you to understand that our Lord has blessed us. As low as you may have felt since last Sunday, or as low as you may have felt previously in the past few days about your past and how you live, yet God's given us a blessing. And the blessing is 2013. That is a blessing from Almighty God that you and I can have a new year. And so today I want to preach on the action of not looking back, but looking forward. Come on, somebody amen that. Not looking back anymore. We did that last Sunday. Let's now today, this first Sunday, let's look forward. Now in Jonah chapter number 3, the Word of God says that the Lord came to Jonah, I love this, the second time. Now, let me show you what kind of person Jonah was the first time. Let me show you his past. Go to chapter 1 with me. You can't close your Bible or you'll miss it today. Go to Jonah 1 and let's see what Jonah was doing, how he failed, how he came short of the glory of God before God gave him a second time or a second chance, or what we're going to talk today on is a retake. Notice in chapter number 1, notice in verse number 2, that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. He says, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found the ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You ought to know the story. If you've been in church long at all or gone to Sunday school like you ought to, you know the story of Jonah and the whale. And you know that it all started by Jonah was a preacher. Jonah was a prophet of God. And God said to Jonah, this Jew, he said, Jonah, I want you to leave the Jewish land that you inhabit. And I want you to go over to the land of Assyria. And I want you to go to their capital, Nineveh. And I want you to preach, you must be born again. You must repent of your sins or judgment is coming. Well, if you know your history in the Bible, Assyria was a well-known enemy of Israel. That would be like, I don't know what you consider our worst enemy. If you say, well, North Korea is America's worst enemy. Or if you say Iraq, Iraq and Egypt and some of these others. You say, well, these are our worst enemies. That would be like God calling you and saying, all right, Brother Allen, I want you to go to North Korea. I'm going to judge them. I'm going to bring my judgment down upon them. You go and you preach repentance, and all those that repent, I'll spare them. Well, if you're a full-blooded American and you watch the news and you know how they're always running their big mouths about wanting to attack America and blow America off the map, which, by the way, they'll never happen. By the way, if you're worried about Israel coming to a place where they won't exist, it's not happening. They're going to be around, so don't worry about that stuff. Amen? But anyway, there's your news report for today. There's your prophecy. It's according to the Bible. They're here. They're all the way in the Revelations. The Jews are going to be here. They've always been tried to push aside or just totally done away with, but God always prevails in Israel's life. Well, anyway, that would be like him telling us to go to North Korea, and you'd be like, I don't go to North Korea. and wicked people, and a bunch of communists. They hate people down there. Only the people that's in government got any money. Everybody else is just like a third world country lifestyle. They're starving over there. They're dying down there. And they spend all their money on the military and on ammunition, and they won't feed their own people. I ain't going down there. They won't help themselves. I ain't going to help them. That's what Jonah said. Jonah said, I'm not going to Assyria. That's our enemy. All they want to do is destroy Israel. All they want is to destroy the kingdom of Israel, and I'm not going down there. And so the first thing we see that Jonah did was the sin of disobedience. Notice what it said in verse 3. God said, go. And look at verse 3. Can somebody shout out the first word? But. It didn't go as God wanted it to go. Not right now, but it eventually will. But. Jonah, I want you to go down to Nineveh, down to the capital city of Assyria. Those Assyrians, they're going to hell. They need to know that I love them too. I love Israel. You're my chosen people, the apple of my eye. But I love them Assyrians too. I'm going to die for them too. I'm going to shed my blood for them too. So go tell them that I love them. But Jonah rose up to what? Flee. To flee. And it's so funny when you study the geographical location of Tarshish and of Nineveh, and Jonah went as far away as he could. He not only was guilty of the sin of disobedience, but he was guilty of the sin of downright rebellion. I don't know about you, and I know you may be holier than me this morning, but I guarantee you in 2012 we were guilty of the sin of disobeying God. We were guilty of even rebelling against God. Amen. Look what it says what Jonah did. But Jonah, give me the first two words of verse 3. But Jonah what? Say it out loud. Rose up. Is that not a picture of rebellion? When somebody rises up, when the early Americans, our forefathers, when they began the American Revolution, what did they do? They rose up against the British Empire. Rising up or rose up is a picture here of rebellion. He not only disobeyed by going the opposite direction, but he rose up against God. He not only, he wasn't that he secretly and just kind of said, I'm not going to do it. No, I mean, he was bold. He said, I ain't doing it. I ain't going down there. What a crazy command. Are you crazy, God? Why would you ask me to do that? He rose up against God. He rebelled. Then I notice also that, look what it says. He rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa. Now, verse number 2, look what God told him to do. Arise and go to Joppa. Your Bible don't say that. I'm sorry, let me clear my eyes. I can't see right now. Arise and go to, that's Nineveh. Well, what in the world is he doing in Joppa? What in the devil is he going to end up doing in Tarshish? Before this verse even ends, he goes to Joppa and he ends up in Tarshish. Why? He's living outside the will of God. I ask you a question. I know you're thinking, I thought we got over this stuff last Sunday, preacher. You still on it? I'm working my way. How many of you have in 2012, you lived outside God's will? You lived in your Joppa. Some of you right now are in Joppa. We ought to be in Nineveh. So right now is in Tarshish. You're way away. I mean, some, you in Joppa, you're just a little ways from God. You're little by little. But some of you in Tarshish, you're way away from the will of God. You better get back to Nineveh. God might send a great fish, amen? Great fish that will swallow you up. And I'm not talking about a real fish. I'm talking about something, the judgment or chastisement that's going to come and engulf you in your life. You better get to Nineveh. Are you with me today? He lived outside God's will. And then notice what it says. He not only went down the Joppa. Anytime you get away from God, you always go what? Down. Then it says, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof. Notice that. Anytime you get away from God, you're going to pay the fare. You're going to pay the consequences. You're going to pay for it, boys and girls, teenagers, young folks. Listen to me. You're gonna decide to get away from God. Listen to me. You're going to pay the fare. You're going to pay for the trip. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a little while. Amen. I'm telling you, you'll pay the fare. Amen. I don't want to pay the fare keeper. Do you? I want to live right with the Lord. Amen. And receive the blessings. Amen. So he paid the fare. Notice, and he went what? Down again. Two times in one verse, God is letting us know, you get away from me, there's only one way to go, and that is down. All right? So he paid the fare of them and went down to go with them. And the wait a minute. He went with them. Them were Gentiles. Them were the ones that God had told Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, and all those good men. He had told them, you make sure my people don't intermingle with the wrong crowd. Today, the Word of God says, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. It tells us what communion has light with darkness or righteousness with unrighteousness. We are told to watch who we are influenced by. And the Bible says that the other sin he committed was that he was being influenced by the wrong crowd. He went with them. Do you see in verse 3 all the failures he's committing here? I promise you in 2012 we probably were guilty about all these too. All right, then that's what it says. Verse number 5. So he gets on the ship, and it says it in verse number 5. Then the mariners were afraid. This is a big storm came when they're out on the ocean. And every man cried unto his God and cast forth the wares that they were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. Watch this, but Jonah. Where's Jonah at? He's still in that ship, but he's worse now. But Jonah was gone down. There's that word down again. He's just, Jonah, wake up. You're going down, down, down. He went down into the sides of the ship and watch this. And he lay and was fast asleep. Let me tell you something. In 2012, there was a storm going on in our country. There was a raging battle going on between good and right, and between good, right, and against evil and wickedness, between righteousness and unrighteousness, between the forces of righteousness and the forces of unrighteousness. There's a battle going on. And I wonder, in 2012, as a Christian, did you sleep through it? Did you sleep through that storm, or did you spend time in prayer? Did you fight your battle like you're supposed to? Did you stand up for Jesus when you were supposed to, or did you just fall asleep spiritually? It's a sad thing, Brother Tim Holloway, to fall asleep on God as a Christian. Sad, sad place to be when even though physically you look awake, but in your heart you're asleep spiritually. And the problem here is because he's asleep, guess what? He's not doing a work for God. Now you know what happened as we get down to, I guess, verse number, let's say, verse 15. Jonah never repents. He never asks God to forgive him for his rebellion, his disobedience, being influenced by the wrong crowd. He never repents of living outside God's will. He doesn't even realize, he doesn't even sense that he's going down, 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 Brother Albert. He never repents. He had opportunities, but yet he would not repent. Here's the result. No repentance. Then comes God's judgment, God's chastening hand. It's time for Jonah to get whooped by his father. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. And go to verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Can anybody tell me? I'll let you talk to me. Anybody tell me why he's in the belly of a whale? Disobedience. Sin. God's judging him. Jesus said it was a whale for some of you that said, I didn't know. It was a whale. Jesus, and he spoke, he said, Jonah in the belly of a whale. And so we know the big fish was a whale. But Jonah is there in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights. Why? Because of his sin. Are you hearing me today? Now go back to chapter 3. Verse 1. All that being said, all them failures, all that sin, all that rebellion against God, all that being influenced by the wrong crowd, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Hallelujah. You're here today. Why? Because God's given you a second time. He's given you a second chance. He's given you what I want to emphasize today, a retake. He's letting you have a retake. I want you to think of this. Last year, as you thought about, and you may think about it right now, you think about the times where you had an opportunity to be a witness. Now, I want you, eyes on me. You had an opportunity to be a witness, but you didn't witness. This year, good news, you get a retake. The times that you were supposed to give that financial blessing to that brother or sister in your church, and you did not do it because of your selfish heart, guess what? God is giving you a retake in 2013. The times when you got critical of the pastor, the Sunday school teacher, the pastor's wife, the somebody in the pew, whatever it was, guess what? God's giving you a retake. You can't take back what you said in 2012. You can't take back that event or that opportunity you had to bless somebody. You cannot take back that opportunity you had to give a tract, that opportunity to pray with somebody when they said, oh, I'm having a bad day. Oh, let me pray, have a word of prayer with you. You can't take it back, but hallelujah, we get a second time, a second chance. We get a retake, amen. Do you know that when you kids are in school, and when we were in school, that we would take our pictures. And you know that they would bring them home, and most times we didn't like our pictures. But they had this great thing that was coming up in another month. It's called retakes. Anybody want a retake? Just fill this form out. A retake. I today brought some pictures. I didn't ask, could I get these pictures, because I would be told no. How many pictures that you have or someone's took of you that you wish you could retake? Every time, all of them, that is funny. Every time we take a picture together, my wife and I, or somebody takes a picture of Angela, she always says this, now let me see it. Always. And you know what the next words are? Take another one. That's right. Do it again. Is anybody else like that? Let's do another one. The light wasn't right. The flower. I don't like that flower. No retake. I didn't smile. I wasn't looking. I blinked. Whatever. Retakes. And I found some pictures at home. And these are pictures that I promise you that Matthew, Morgan, Rebecca, and Angela. You say, preacher, is there not any pictures that you would like to retake? Sure, I've got pictures that looks like I got more waste on me than Hall County Landfill does. Sure. I know I got more hair than that picture shows. Something ain't right. I know I don't have that stomach like it's showing. So I want to retake all of them, amen. But I'm preaching. I get to pick on people, amen. First picture we got today is of Matthew. When Matthew's a little kid, he was in his toy box, and he liked to go in his toy box. He liked to play in his toy box. Mama come in there and took a picture of Matthew in the toy box. You want to see it, dog? Matthew didn't like to get his picture taken. So Matthew has got his arms crossed, and he's mad. He was having a little, see that, Gracie? He was having a little fit that day. He wasn't happy. I promise you, Matthew would like to have a retake of this. Second picture I found of Morgan. For some reason, she throws away all the bad pictures. But this is the one I found, and it involves another young lady in our church, Carly. This is the only picture I could find. And this is a picture of, I don't know what you call this picture. You see that? What is that? Do you see that? What is that? Do you see that? See that? I would say, Brittany, that they'd like to have a retake. Yeah. You see that, Mom? Grandpa, Grandma? Retake. Last night, we got home, my wife and I, we'd spent some time together. We got home, we'd abusing Rebecca so she can watch the kids. I'll put these up front if you want to come look at them later. And Rebecca said, look at this picture I found of myself. She said, look at me, I look like a geek. I can't believe y'all let me take this picture. And she complained about this picture. See that, Dave? You don't mind I show this, do you? Oh. Too late. I think she looks pretty, but she just don't like to wear hair is. She said, my hair don't look good. You seen it last night. She just don't like it. She's the only thing pretty in that picture is the roses she's standing beside. She don't like it. See that, Gracie? See that? She just don't like it. She'd like to have a retake. She says her shoes look like clog hoppers. What she says. Then last of all, Angela. I took this picture of Angela when she was pregnant. I called her one Sunday morning. She wasn't feeling good. She was just not long from going to deliver Morgan into the world. And when she turned to get her picture, I snapped. The camera, that is. I'll let you look. You see this? She don't like his picture. I need to know who I can go home with. Who can I go home with after service? Who's got dinner cooked? You ever seen anything like that in Brazil? Huh? I told you I'd get you back. Retakes. I know that's funny, but you know, in life, we like to have retakes. We just like to have retakes. And I thought about how that God's like a photographer. Do you know what a camera does? It captures moments. There's a God in heaven that he's capturing moments. No matter if you're ready for it or not, he's capturing it. Look, what you say, what you do, what you think, just like his camera, he's capturing it. Everything that we did in 2012, so to speak, in God's camera, on his film, he's captured it. Just when you think that you're all alone, he's capturing it. I thought about that. What all did he capture in 2012 in your life? What words, what thoughts, what actions, what reactions, what has he captured? You know what a photographer does, and I'm relating this to God. They always say this one thing. They always, a good photographer, one that, like my wife's Uncle Calvin, he loves to take pictures. He don't let you know he's going to take your picture. He just takes pictures. Is that right? You're not ready, but he just takes pictures. One after another. And you look at him, you're like, oh my goodness. Why'd you get me putting that big old spoonful of food in my mouth? Why'd you get that with my finger up my nose? That's the way it does. There's a God in heaven. He says, listen, no matter if your hair is combed pretty, no matter if you got the suit on, no matter if your heart's right, I'm capturing everything about you on my film. What's another thing that a photographer does? There's one thing that he always says. What does he say? Smile. 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 You know what God tells us in His Word? Smile! Don't walk around with downcast spirits. Smile! You know why? You know why He says that? Because He's taking our picture. He's capturing it. I wonder how many pictures He has where we're frowning, where we're complaining, where we're just downright mad and upset. Tell me. I wonder how many is like that. The Bible says that Jonah got a retake. I'm just having fun this morning, but I was given a point. My point is that 2013, we get retakes. The same opportunities or the same events that came in your life last year are going to come up this year. They might not be exactly the same, but they're going to be similar. You're going to have a chance to pray like you should have prayed in 2012. You get a retake. You're going to get a chance to read your Bible through when you said January of last year, I'm going to read it through, and you didn't. You get a retake. You said, I'm going to have a time every morning if I go to work, and I'm going to read my Bible, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to fellowship with the Lord. And you failed God, and He was there waiting on you, but you did not show up. Guess what? You get a retake. The times where someone come to you and said, did you see Miss Angie's hair today? And you said, yeah, I noticed she's getting a little worldly. You get a retake. This time you get to say, yeah, I love my preacher's wife. She's a great teacher. Boy, she can sing and play that piano. She means a lot. She wears a lot of hats. I love her. You get a retake. Those of you in Sunday school have said, that Brother Allen, he stumbles over words when he reads. I just can't hardly understand them. You get a retake and you get to say, hey, here's a man legally blind in one eye, but he does his very best. And he encourages me. You get a retake. Some of you that laid at home in 2012, and not because you're sick, not because you work, not because you're on vacation, you just was downright lazy on God, and you did not come to His house, you get a retake. Amen. Some of you that work in ministries, you work in offices of this church, and you failed, not only your preacher, you failed your church because you didn't fill that office like you ought to, you get a retake. You that said, I'm going to pass out tracts. I'm going to witness. I'm going to tell folks about the love of God. And in 2012, you may have started out good, but by mid-year, you started faltering, getting away from God. You get a retake. You get a retake. You know what the best thing about a camera? The best thing about a camera, let's see if I can do this. You know what's in here, don't you? Film. Now, you know what happens if film is exposed to light. You know what happens, don't it? If it is exposed to light, everything I just took, here's the film right here. And they've got a special tool to get this out. It's one of these disposable deals, but there's the film right there. Because I've exposed it to light, every picture I took this morning is wiped away. If I was to take this down to Walgreens, Miss Beverly, what would happen? There wouldn't be nothing on there. But you would say, wait a minute, preacher, I was there when you took the pictures. You know why? Because it had an experience with the light. You know why y'all still have things in your life that you're ashamed of? Because you've not had that experience with the light. Whatever is on your film in 2012, you meet with Jesus Christ and He says, those that confess, I will forgive. And what he can do is he can wipe it all clean. Wipe it all away. All away. You know why? Because we've got a God that gives us retakes. You get a retake this morning. You get one tomorrow. The next day. Next month. If you live through whatever, how many months, or all 12 months this year, you don't, please don't forget, you're getting a second chance. You're getting a retry. You're getting a retake. We'll be fools. Miss Carrie, we're fools. If we failed the Lord last year and he gives us a retake this year and we don't do better, we're fools in God's eyes. We've been foolish. Retakes. But the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. After all that rebellion, all that disobedience, after all living away from God, God still had grace. You know what happened, don't you? Jonah asked God to forgive him. You know what happened to Jonah? He headed back to Nineveh. That's what happens when you really get right with God. There's always what the preacher calls fruits of repentance. The fruit is there'll be a change in your life. You're no longer living in Tarshish. You're no longer even living in Joppa. You're now going to Nineveh. You're now going where you're supposed to go. Amen? And when Jonah got right with God and God wiped it clean, when the film of his past, when all that was exposed, when it was exposed to the light, when it was exposed, clean, washed away. It's not there. It's gone. You want a clean slate? Only the light and his precious blood can wash your sins away. And you can start all over. You can start all over. And every chance that you failed, it may not only be that you failed God, maybe you failed your wife, your children. I know we're not perfect. I'm not preaching perfection. I'd be an idiot to preach perfection. Because I look at the guy in the mirror and I say, man, you're so imperfect. And so I'm not preaching, but I'm preaching living right. I'm preaching it, doing right, living for God, and we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. You Sunday school teacher, if you didn't put your heart into that class this year, maybe the last 2-3 months, you just didn't do it. Media ministry, the outreach minister, the song leader, the secretaries, the two treasurers, the pastor, the deacon, if we didn't put our heart into it and we got in a rut where we just went through the motions, God's given us a retake. We get a retry. But we first got to confess. And we've got to have an experience with the light. And once we do that, it's all gone. It's all gone. And we can start fresh and anew. Don't you like fresh starts? Sometimes, Angie and I will have a disagreement. I know y'all don't believe that, but we do. Sometimes she's hard-headed. A lot of times I'm hard-headed. And we'll have a disagreement. We don't see eye to eye. I heard one man say they were married 40, Ken, he and his wife, what's her name? Georgia. They, I don't know how long they've been married. But Ken, he's about this tall. He's a short little fella. And Miss Georgia, his wife, is probably 3 foot taller than he is. Would that be right? Well, probably 2 foot. And they look kind of, they walk in church, and here's little Ken, and here's Miss Georgia. It looks just odd, you know? Nothing wrong being short, amen? I can't complain about it. Amen? Short people usually are faster. And so anyway, Alan's laughing. Yeah, you know what it is to be short, don't you, Brother Alan? You're in the same club. And so anyway, they'll come to the church, and he told me one day, he said, Brother Lee, me and my wife's never had an argument. I shook the man's hand. Said, and in my heart, I said, I don't believe you, but I said, congratulations, you're a better man than I never heard that before in my life. They've been married like 40 years. Then I thought, as little as he is, he probably never did argue with her. Makes sense. That's probably she pounding him on the head. I don't know. But my wife and I will have a disagreement. You know what sometimes we do? One of us will do it. We'll say, okay, stop. Stop. Let's start all over. Let's start all over. And we start over. We just calm down. We try to place our feelings on the side. I try to respect her. She tries to respect mine. We place our feelings, and then we start over. I remember that day. It's been about 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago. We was under a lot of stress, a lot of things going on. And we was kind of a little snappy, you know. I know y'all never do that with your wives. And so I said something I said. And the Holy Ghost said, it's going to be a bad day, son. Not because Angie, because of God. It's going to be a bad day, need to get it right. So here's what I did. I went outside the door, front door, waited a minute or two, and I came back in, and we started the day brand new. You remember that? We started all over. Just as if we didn't have an argument. And boy, it was good after that. Amen? That's what God says. You confess it, I'll let you have a retake. How many of you here honestly would say that, spiritually speaking, you like retakes? Anybody like that? I like them. You get a retake. Thank God that He washes the nasty film away. He washes all that sin, all that rebellion, all that times we were influenced by the wrong crowd. We were unfaithful to church, unfaithful to Him. We lied. We didn't have patience. We didn't have temperance. We didn't encourage. We tried to destroy. Instead of build up, we tried to destroy. But now we get a new chance. Now we get a retake. May God help us. Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.